and a very good Monday morning to you fine folks. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, about 19 minutes after the hour of 10 on a weather day which is kind of going in reverse. Normally it's cooler earlier in the day and then it gets a little warmer. We've started out relatively warm in the 50s and now it's dropping to about 40 and it will end up around the freezing point before long. Good morning, you're on WWGH Radio. Hello? Okay, caller, please call back as we value everybody's participation in the program that we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, starring yours truly, Adam Lepp, also known as the Computer Guy and purveyor of wisecracks and other interesting broadcasting tidbits. We are expecting a call from a regular guest of mine, Mr. Lucas Wall, to discuss his lawsuits against airlines and government officials related to the federal transportation mask mandate. That'll certainly be a good educational and, of course, controversial program segment, so we do encourage you to stay tuned as it will certainly be something that you will want to spend your morning listening to. We get together every Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 to discuss politics, other current event items, have a few wisecracks and discussions about different things that might be going on in the fine world that we live in, and of course take calls from valued listeners like yourself. Good morning, you're on WWGH Radio with Adam.
Okay, Adam, I want to make this short and sweet, so I don't have a lot of time to talk.
Sure.
But I just want to let you know one thing. You're going down.
What do you mean by that?
Well, didn't you sign up for the fruitcake toss?
Oh, the fruitcake toss. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Get ready to lose, Al. So,
I just wanted to do some trash talking.
Oh, no problem whatsoever.
I have to represent for the girls, seeing as how I'm like the only chick that signed up.
We want a diverse crowd and diverse participant list. We invite more females of all ages to participate. We're glad that you're part of the extravaganza.
Yeah, well, I've got the eye of the tiger, Adam.
That's how we like to roll here at the Talking Place, and we appreciate your participation. Please recruit some of your fellow females.
I'm gonna try. Ladies, sign up.
No, that's all I can ask for. Thanks for the call, and you stay warm out there.
Okay, bye.
WWGH Radio discussing the upcoming fruitcake toss, where yours truly has agreed to participate. I will, through an underhanded method, toss a fruitcake somewhere in the city of Marion for fun and other benefits. Don't want to miss that event. It'll certainly be a spectacle for the ages, to put it mildly. About 23 minutes after the hour of 10 here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where we talk today's top and trendy technology topics during the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, airing every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3, and that will include tomorrow. So you don't want to miss that program either. Quite a variety and diversity of programming just for you here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. If you enjoyed listening to Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, he is on every Monday through Friday between 8:13 a.m. and 10. Also for your listening enjoyment. And whenever you listen to a program here at The Talking Place, you will go away with more brain cells than you had before you began listening. And speaking of people with a lot of brain cells and always interesting topics, interesting albeit controversial, like to wish a very good morning to my brother in broadcasting and co-host today, Mr. Lucas Wall, currently hanging his hat in a state where it's probably a lot warmer than it is here, the great sunshine state of Florida. Lucas, how are you on this fine Monday morning?
Good morning, Adam. Wow, I didn't realize I had been promoted to co-host now. I'm super excited.
Well, don't get too excited, but you know, for today, you will certainly be spending a lot of time at the esteemed WWGH microphones. Now, you've been on with us a few times, but it's been a few weeks since you have been on with me. You were on with Scott also. That certainly was an interesting spectacle, to put it mildly. So you are certainly overdue to once again share the airwaves with myself here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where if you're not in the Marion area, you can listen anywhere in the universe at our website, WWGH1071.com. Now, Lucas, in case our listeners have not had the pleasure of hearing your previous appearances on this station, tell us exactly what it is you're going to talk about and why. What you're doing is not just controversial, but even if people don't agree with what you do, why it's so important.
Well, I am litigating the federal transportation mask mandate, which President Biden just announced last week on the 2nd that he will be extending again for the third time from January 18th until March 18th. And I'm also involved in the first class action lawsuit against 7 airlines for illegally discriminating against disabled people such as myself, who have medical conditions that preclude us from wearing face masks.
So you are of the belief, and this also is a belief that I and many others share, that requiring mask wearing on an airplane, as well as on an Amtrak train, bus, Uber, Lyft, etc., is unconstitutional, especially if you do have ADA protection, and also in our belief, is of marginal value in stopping the spread of a virus, but due to the fact that it also causes some problems, has a net detrimental effect.
That's absolutely correct, Adam. There are so many problems about the mask mandate. It often takes more than 80 pages to discuss all of them in a legal brief.
Now, in terms of the effectiveness of masks, if not the danger of them, you have published a list of over 200 studies to that effect. First, tell our listeners where they can look at those citations.
Those 223 links are posted on my blog. It's lucas.travel/masksarebad. 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 And you will find enough reading material to keep you busy for at least the next 2 weeks.
So with close to 20 dozen citations. I think I got my math right, but you know, my brain sometimes is a little slow at this time of the morning, especially with the cooler weather here in the Midwest, but I believe that's close to 20 dozen citations.
Closer to 16 dozen, but you know, we won't hold it against you for being off by a dozen or so.
You said 223?
Yes.
Okay, so 12 times 20 is 240, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so almost 19 dozen. Is that right? I was always good at arithmetic, so I hate to think that even if my brain is a little sloshy this time of the day, that I might be off, but it certainly can happen, can it? Also,
I guess I was misspoken perhaps
Okay. Bottom line
still a little early for my brain as well. Yeah, close to 19 dozen, but I think it's just simpler to say 223.
Yes. But bottom line is, Lucas, there are many studies which show that masks are bad, and many people don't believe that. And it's a controversial issue. I respect all people's opinions, and you know, there are at least that many studies that show or attempt to show that masks are good, and we encourage our listeners to make their own decisions. Now, one issue which is always at the forefront is the violation of the ADA when it comes to requiring masks on airplanes, Amtraks, buses, Ubers, etc. I don't know anybody, Lucas, who is against the ADA. I'm certainly a very strong supporter. In fact, I think it's one of the most important pieces of legislation that's been passed, certainly in my lifetime, if not the entire history of this great country. And the mask requirements are a walking ADA violation. That is extremely clear. I don't see how anybody could disagree with that. And that is part of the methodology that you're using, in addition to even if you don't have an ADA issue of your own, it still is something which does violate our rights. And again, we don't believe masks are even effective. It's not a way to mitigate this problem. In fact, I think it's making it worse. Now, when did this get started, Lucas? Remind our listeners of this timeline. When did you first dive into these lawsuits and your very ardent attempt to remove what we believe to be the illegal? No other way to say it. It's illegal. The FTMM.
Yes. Well, my goodness, we've passed the half-year mark now that my legal battles have been going on. I attempted to take a flight out of Orlando International Airport on June 2nd, and at the very start of summer, and now here we are at the first week of winter, 6 months later, and things are still slowly making their way through the churn of the legal process. The first case was filed against CDC, President Biden, and others on June 7th. I filed the class action lawsuit against seven airlines on June 14th. And then in coordination with a group of disabled Americans, we filed six lawsuits around the country October 19th, specifically targeting the Transportation Security Administration. And that's the one that is now before John Roberts, Chief Justice of the United States, at the Supreme Court on an emergency application, waiting his determination as to whether the TSA has legal authority to enforce mask wearing, which is not in any way a security measure, which is the only area that the Congress has given TSA to regulate. And so we are on pins and needles here, awaiting a decision possibly this week by Chief Justice Roberts on whether the federal transportation mask mandate can continue to be enforced or not.
So this has been going on about 6 months, and you've done quite a bit. I would say you've done more than other people may take 10 years to do. And you're not even an attorney, although you've had experience working for attorneys. Certainly your legal knowledge is quite extensive, not to mention what you've learned on the job, so to speak, since this began earlier in 2021. Now, since we last talked, Lucas, it's been probably a couple months. There have been some developments. Why don't you share with us kind of what's happened, let's say, since October, and what the current state of your lawsuits is, and the chance for success as we go farther down with this?
Well, the biggest news, of course, is the one I just mentioned about the one of the lawsuits against TSA. Myself and a young father from Sanford, Florida, which is just outside Orlando, and his four-year-old autistic son who can't wear a mask are involved in a case against TSA that was filed at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, then transferred to the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. We were denied an emergency stay in just a one-paragraph order by the D.C. Circuit, claiming that there is a readily available exemption process, which is a complete fabrication. There is no such thing available. And we have appealed that interim decision to Chief Justice Roberts at the Supreme Court. He is the justice assigned to take emergency appeals from the District of Columbia Circuit. That appeal was docketed on December 2nd, incidentally the exact same day last week that President Biden announced that he was ordering TSA to extend the mask mandate yet again until March 18th as part of his package of how to deal with the newest COVID variant, despite the fact that there is no substantial evidence showing that wearing face masks in any way reduces the spread of COVID-19. So we have asked for a decision by Wednesday this week because my co-applicants, Michael Siklecki and his son, Michael Jr., are up in Boston where the boy received special medical treatment at the Boston Children's Hospital, and they are scheduled to fly back from Boston to Orlando on Thursday the 9th. And so we are hoping for a decision by Wednesday on an expedited ruling about a preliminary injunction or what they call a stay to stay the mandate nationwide. If your viewers would like to see Mr. Siklecki, my co-applicant, there's some exciting news to share. He will be interviewed live on the Fox News channel at 10 p.m. Eastern time tonight by Laura Ingraham on the Ingraham Angle Show. So we're very much looking forward to that interview and having him discuss with a national audience our case before the Supreme Court. The airlines case is still in a murky swamp of procedural obstacles and hurdles, so there's not a whole lot to share that would be of any interest to your listeners on that case right now. And then on my first lawsuit against CDC, President Biden, and other officials and agencies to stop the mask mandate, we are finally getting, I hope, toward the finish line. The federal government filed its final response to my objections to the magistrate's report. And just a few minutes ago, I received an alert that I was granted approval to file one final reply brief regarding the international traveler testing requirement that President Biden just announced CDC has modified again, which is another order that I'm challenging. And I'll be filing that in the next couple of days. And then the case will be finally ready for the district judge to make a ruling on. Although the magistrate is recommending that I have to restart the case because of procedural defects. So it's been a very long, frustrating process. But we'll at least get some clarity on where that first case is heading, hopefully, later this month when the district judge, who is the head judge of the case, weighs in.
We are speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall from his current domicile in Florida, where I'm sure it's a lot more than 40 degrees, but that's the South for you. We enjoy the variety of weather here in the great Midwest, Ohio Valley, Great Lakes, part of the United States of America. Lucas, so there have been some developments since we last talked. Again, Lucas is suing various government entities, including the Prez himself, as well as airlines, several airlines, regarding what he and I definitely agree is the illegal FTMM, the Federal Transportation Mask Mandate, and especially important is the very blatant violation of the Americans for Disabilities Act, the ADA, which certainly adds some additional leverage to what he's doing. So the update from earlier today, Lucas, is that going to have a big effect? We read about the new travel restrictions by the Biden administration. Kind of seems like every day we hear something different. I mean, as I like to say, the CDC and Dr. Fauci seem to have more flip-flops than a beach footwear store.
And yes, that is absolutely true. And it's really aggravating, I tell you. I was so angry when I listened to the president's speech last week outlining all of these new restrictions that he is putting into place for travelers. And it's really upsetting to see the insanity of 20 months into this pandemic, all of these things that were done in the past that have totally failed to curb the spread of COVID-19, and yet the answer from the administration is just to continue trying the same thing over and over again, somehow believing that, oh, well, if we do it this time, it's going to work, whereas it hasn't, these things haven't worked in the last 20 months, but hell, let's just try it again instead of actually trying to look at alternatives that might be more effective.
It seems like they keep trying the same things, and sometimes it's because they work, but in this case, it's because they don't work. And are they trying to brainwash us into thinking, well, you just wear a mask, you just follow these restrictions, you just kind of follow the flock, be a sheep, that somehow this is just going to go away? And we're looking at almost 2 years into the situation. And how much progress has been made? How has this been mitigated? And how have we learned from this? And for the next pandemic, how are we going to manage it? It just seems like it's getting messier and messier.
Yeah, what we learn, Adam, is that the virus is an extremely difficult enemy to battle. And most of these attempts that are being made, especially with the mask wearing, it's nothing but pandemic theater. It is just something that's done to try to make people feel better that they somehow have some iota of control over trying to stop the virus by putting some little piece of cloth over their face. But you're in a cold climate. We're in winter now, so I would encourage any of your viewers, and you have a nice chilly day there in Ohio, go outside with a surgical mask on and just start breathing, and have someone record yourself or watch your friend or family member doing it, and you'll see as you breathe in that frigid cold air, the respiratory droplets, the condensation, will show up going out the top, bottom, and sides of your mask. The most clear, easy illustration you can see of how worthless the masks are. They don't stop anyone who's infected from transmitting their respiratory droplets full of the virus outside of their mask. All it does is redirect them from going straight forward to out the sides and the top and the bottom. And if you think about sitting on an airplane or a train or a bus where you have someone seated right next to you, shoulder to shoulder, instead of you breathing straight ahead into the seat back in front of you, what are you doing by wearing a mask? You're breathing out. The masks force those droplets out each side of your mask directly into the faces of the people sitting to your left and or your right.
So the effectiveness of masks is, out of lack of a better term, a fallacy. Now, people that do wear the N95s or a mask that we think may have some valid effectiveness in mitigating the virus, it still has to be worn properly. And we, again, have the other issues that masks present. It's not natural to put a mask, regardless of the kind, over your face. And how does that counteract against possible effectiveness? The emotional impact, regardless of how good you hear, everybody reads lips, looks at facial expressions. Plus, we don't want to get dependent upon them. Plus, they can cause skin conditions. There are so many different things on that negative side of masks. And is it really worth it, even if the mask has some effectiveness? But bottom line is, people wearing the bandanas, the gaiters, and the surgical masks, they're not helping anybody, themselves or other people.
No, they're absolutely not. And the legal issues go way beyond just the fact that masks aren't effective, because there is a debate about that. The overwhelming evidence in the scientific and medical community shows that masks are not effective, and they actually do cause many harms to human health over extended wearing. Many dentists, for instance, are reporting teeth decay and gum issues in people who are forced to muzzle themselves all day long at work for the past year and a half. Because of the bacteria buildup from exhaling and having part of that waste breath being forced immediately back into your mouth. There's a reason we exhale. That air is not designed to stay in our lungs. It is processed into carbon dioxide and exhaled out. And if that is bouncing back into your mouth, that is not the way that humans were engineered. And so putting a obstacle to your breathing is not something that any animal, any species has ever done in the history of Earth that we know of. And so this is a first-time attempt at trying to do something that goes completely against biology. And beyond that, though, we could sit here and argue for weeks and weeks and weeks about this study says this study says that. But we have many legal issues against the federal transportation mask mandate. In the Supreme Court brief that we filed last week, we raised a dozen major prongs of our legal argument. And in fact, not a single one of those is that masks are ineffective, because that's a difficult point to argue in a legal issue, because you would need dueling expert testimony and so on and so forth. But we have three main constitutional problems with the mask mandate. First, it violates our rights to due process of law under the Fifth Amendment. If a disabled person applies for a mask exemption, and as is almost always the case, an airline denies that, then that's the end of the story. There is no due process to appeal that deprivation of the ability to travel to the TSA, the CDC, or any other federal entity. It's just, nope, we deny your application and you can't fly with us, and that's the end of the story. Well, the Constitution doesn't permit private companies to determine whether we can exercise our constitutional right to freedom of travel, which is the second constitutional issue we raise. And then the third issue is the 10th Amendment, that this mask mandate imposed by the Biden administration affects not just flying from state to state, which is more arguably a federal concern, but it affects if you go to your capital city of Columbus, where you live, Adam, and you get on the bus and you ride for a mile or two to pick up lunch or to visit a friend or to do something that has no connection to interstate commerce, the federal government simply does not have the power to regulate what someone has to put on their face for that trip. Likewise, if you get into a taxi or an Uber or a Lyft in Columbus or anywhere else in your great state of Ohio, so that you can take a ride 2 miles to, say, go visit a family member or something like this, again, there's no interstate commerce involved. The Constitution reserves the power to regulate public health and transportation within a state's borders solely to the states themselves. And then I could go on and on about all the other legal issues. You mentioned the Americans with Disabilities Act, which actually in the aviation sector, there's a separate law called the Air Carrier Access Act. We have the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which prohibits the government from requiring that anyone use an emergency medical device. A face mask is classified by the Food and Drug Administration as an emergency medical device. These things are not tested and approved. They do not have to be properly fitted and examined by a doctor as you would under OSHA standards if you worked in an environment where you needed a protective mask for toxic gases or something along these lines. These masks were never designed for viral protection. They were designed for protecting the wearer from substances and fumes and so on and so forth. So again, I could probably take up the rest of the day on your station describing all the legal arguments, but if people would like to read them, I send them to my blog, lucas.travel, lucas.travel, and there you will find the latest postings about the Supreme Court case, and you can click on that, and there are links right there where you can download the 83-page brief and the 234 pages of exhibits and read them to your heart's content for the next few hours if you so desire.
We are speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall about his lawsuits against airlines and government entities and government officials, even the Prez himself, and the federal transportation mask mandate and a similar, and the ADA violation which is very blatant as well, and the Air Carrier Access Act, which is similar to the Americans for Disabilities Act, which applies when you are a passenger on an airplane. Now, we cited, Lucas, the about 19 dozen, we got that straightened out, studies showing masks are bad. And again, lucas.travel/masks are bad. That is the list of those articles. When you talked to Scott, he mentioned that statistics have kind of shown where school districts or other places where they require masks, the COVID infection rate has gone down. So he's seeing analogous behavior that shows masks are working. And remind our listeners, what would be your rebuttal to that? What do you say to somebody who indicates, okay, well, that's nice you have those 19 dozen studies, but here's 119 dozen studies showing that masks are effective. And here are statistics from our school district and other places that show when people do wear masks, there is less COVID. What do you tell somebody who says something like that?
Well, first, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to find more than 223 solid scientific studies that show that masks are effective. There certainly are a few out there. Their methodology has been intensely criticized in the scientific and medical communities. And even some of the studies that purport to show that masks are helpful, like the one released by the CDC several months ago, if you really go in and read the study, you'll see, for instance, that they found in following up with people who had COVID and surveying them that 85% of people who were infected with coronavirus said that they always or often wore a mask when outside of the home. 85% of those who were infected told surveyors they were regular mask wearers. There have been excellent studies comparing the death rates per capita in the states that mandated masks last year and the states that did not. And it was a 6% differential in deaths per capita. And guess what, Adam? The states that did not have a mask mandate are the ones that had 6% fewer deaths per capita than the states that did mandate muzzling. And I could go on and on and on with rebuttals about the claims that masks are effective. One great thing that we've argued before the Supreme Court is that TSA itself has publicly admitted that it has more than 11,000 of its workers who have tested positive for COVID-19 during the pandemic. And as we know, about half of COVID cases are not symptomatic. And so the scientists say that in general terms, you can assume that if you have X percent of or X number of people who test positive for COVID in a location, it's most likely that the true rate of infection is about double that, because you have about half of people who never feel sick or who never feel like they have anything more than a cold or anything, and so they have no reason to ever go and seek out a COVID test. So we explained to the Supreme Court, in all likelihood, there are more than 22,000 TSA workers who have been infected with coronavirus, which is about a third of TSA's 65,000 employee workforce. And so the question we have posed in the Court of Appeals, which TSA lawyers never answered in response to their arguments that masks are so necessary to reduce the transmission of COVID, is if one-third of your workforce has likely become infected with COVID during the past year and a half, despite the fact that all TSA employees are required to wear a mask at all times while on duty, how does that in any way show proof of your contention that masks reduce COVID spread if a third of your own workers that are forced to cover their noses and mouths every hour of every day at work have been positive for coronavirus or are extrapolated to have been positive? So far, no response from the TSA lawyers on that question, and I'll be very eager if they are ordered to file a brief at the Supreme Court, if they will finally try and answer that question for Chief Justice Roberts.
It seems like they're being a bit selective, and I think the evidence, Lucas, is clear and convincing. There are a lot of holes and a lot of fallacies in this masks are good argument. Now, it's America, Lucas. We encourage people to make their own decision, and if you, the listener, want to wear a mask, I completely support and respect your decision. And just like if you choose not to wear one, and I am definitely a non-mask person, as you probably know, I ask that my opinion be respected. And the idea that wearing a mask is protecting people who are vulnerable, I don't believe that. I don't see any validity in that argument. There are many things, obviously, in the picture here. And again, as Americans, as a country built on free speech and freedom of choice, we encourage folks to make their own decision. And when you do that, you become more informed, and you also help to give advice to other people. And that's what I think is important, not to mention very unselfish, when you can share your knowledge and your experience with other people. Got about 4 minutes and 15 seconds left here, Lucas, till the top of the hour. We really appreciate you coming back on the show with me. Always always good thoughts, and again, whether or not you agree with us, we encourage people to form their own opinions and come away learning about what's going on in this situation. Certainly, I would say the biggest event in my lifetime as we gone past the 1.5 year point of the COVID-19 situation. Lucas, you mentioned that you first began your work on these lawsuits about half a year ago. When do you think it might end, and what are we hoping for as a result?
Well, the ideal result would be on Wednesday to get an order from Chief Justice Roberts that the TSA is prohibited from requiring masks nationwide. That's my fantasy, of course. Realistically, I recognize that getting an emergency order from the Chief Justice of the United States is a very difficult challenge, and the odds are probably against us, even though we have 12 solid legal arguments. It's just such a high bar to get such an early intervention by the Supreme Court. Otherwise, I think we might have an order from the district judge in Orlando this month or next, with any luck, striking down the CDC mask mandate, which would also force the TSA mandate to crumble, because the TSA portion of the federal transportation mask mandate is all it all flows from the CDC order. The airline case will probably be going on for a year or more. That's not going to come to a conclusion anytime soon. There's so many documents that will have to be discovered and so on and so forth. So that's kind of the lay of the legal land. There's another case in Tampa, Florida, challenging the CDC mask mandate, and that has been scheduled for oral argument on April 15th, which I just had to roll my eyes when I saw that, because as of now, anyway, the mask mandate is slated to expire on March 18th, so that would be a month after the whole thing is said and done. But, of course, as we know, the track record of this president is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, even when there is no evidence that what he is doing is actually working. So we just don't know. But the only encouraging sign is that the first two extensions of the mask mandate that Biden made TSA do were for 4 months, and this one now is only for 2 months, from January 18th to March 18th. So I'm semi-optimistic that maybe, just maybe, we're getting toward the end here if they've decided to extend by only 2 months instead of four. Maybe that's some clue that the administration is starting to think about winding this down. The president mentioned in his remarks about wanting to make sure we get through winter and this Omicron variant. But, Well, just watch, Adam. We'll get to March 13th, and we'll be 5 days away from finally having the mandate end. And then there will be the Upsilon variant, or the Tau variant, or whatever other Greek letter you want to throw out. I mean, there's no indication whatsoever that masking is going to put a stop to COVID-19. There are a lot more options that are more effective. For instance, did you know, Adam, the CDC and TSA have a system called Do Not Board and Lookout, where people who test positive for communicable diseases are supposed to be reported so that they can be put on this temporarily two-week no-fly list so that they cannot fly while they are infected with a communicable disease. But guess what, Adam? We found that CDC and TSA, they're not using that system for COVID-19. There's too many cases, and so they've just decided not to use it. And so instead of actually registering everyone who tests positive for COVID-19 and precluding them from flying for 2 weeks while they're infected, they just throw masks on everyone's faces. And if you dare remove your mask to eat, like one of my co-plaintiffs in Alaska, you're banned from the airline. And so he's going to be going to court on an emergency action today to try and reverse being banned by Alaska Airlines. So the short answer, Adam, is I don't see any end in sight without court intervention.
So the airlines are being inconsistent, and it seems like some of the government people, especially those at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, may be a bit clueless, to put it mildly. And in a situation as important as this, that probably is not going to convince a lot of people. It certainly hasn't convinced myself. We'll extend the program a bit, about three more minutes. Lucas, you're always an exciting guest. And again, the controversial nature of this, along with all the depth the depth of the case, as much as you've done, you've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours of your own time researching, writing documents, writing replies, all the things involved in a major court battle like this. And what is our hoped for result? That the government and the airlines will see the error in their ways, understand that the ADA is to be followed, and that masks are not something you should be wearing on an airplane, forced to wear on an Uber or a Lyft or on a train or on a public bus or a school bus. And I guess the suspense will continue, but as I see it, it's the spirit of America, the freedom, that is most important, along with the science behind this, that we've kind of been sold down the river in thinking that the way to mitigate this problem, which is a very, very serious problem, we're not denying that by any means, that the way to mitigate it is through mask wearing, and if anything, again, mask wearing is making the problem worse, not to mention increasing things like spousal abuse, depression, and other problems that many people suffer from. What a tangled web we weave, out of lack of a better way to say it. Lucas, we'll have you back on the show soon. Don't want to go the 2 months like we did last time. There are so many things to talk about and so many different updates. With about 1 minute left, Lucas, any parting words for us?
Well, I definitely encourage your viewers to check out my blog, lucas.travel. You can read tons of information on there about the various cases. I'm personally involved in 3 cases right now dealing with the mask mandate. I have a group of disabled Americans around the country that are involved in another 5 cases, so we have a total of 8 now. Sometime soon, we're going to be suing Dr. Fauci himself and all the other individual federal government officials who have signed off on this illegal and unconstitutional mask mandate. And I'd also encourage your listeners to tune in to Laura Ingraham's show, 10 p.m. Eastern tonight on the Fox News channel, to listen to my co-applicant, Michael Siklecki from Boston, talk about his experiences trying to travel during the pandemic for special medical care with his 4-year-old autistic boy who can't wear a mask, and the problems that has caused his family.
Lucas Wall, thank you again for being with us here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We will have you back on again very soon. Thanks for listening to The Talking Place. We are 107.1 FM on your dial, WWGH, Marion, Ohio.